Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Auto Transport Intel. Mic check, 1, 2, 3. It is Wednesday. It is noon Central Time. That means it is time for some DOT compliance, where we talk with Brian Riker. We answer your questions, which you can put in the live chat. Hey, what's going on, John? Good afternoon, everybody. So you can put your questions in the live chat. You can put them in the YouTube comments below if you watch this on demand. You can also send me an email. You can send in your questions. I'll tell you what, here's a really good idea. You can email your DOT question to onair@yourdotguy.com. You see that in the live chat. Now, why would you do that, right? So if you're starting a business or if you're upgrading to get your CDL, you need to know, you got to protect your CDL, you got to know about the clearinghouse, FMCSA regulations, the DOT regulations, what happens when you get to the scale, should you pass the scale, no, CSA score, etc. There's so much to it, derating your trailer. Brian Riker is here to help answer your questions because you have them, and it's better not to guess, right? Guessing means skipping the scale, and then that's a bad way to go. So don't do that. Do me a favor. Here's what I want you to do. Go ahead and please click the like button. Thank you so much. And if you're so inclined, you can click share, click copy, grab that YouTube link, text it, email it, share it on social media, send it to somebody that you know. Come on, man. Really? That's how you're going to do it? You're going to get pulled over. You're going to get fined. You don't want that. So ask your questions here. As I said, jump in the live chat. And if you're just confused, you don't know where you are, what you're doing, and you want to jump in, you want to go from like surgeon to trucking, go to autotransportintel.com, click on sign up, become an ATI insider, and talk to somebody. Ask questions. Don't speculate in Google and then drop $100,000. You don't want to do that. Okay, so now it is time. Let's bring in our resident expert, your DOT guy, Brian Riker. Hey, you, Brian.
You added new sound effects, Jay. Good day, everybody.
I am always trying to up my game, as we all are. So, so what's going on today, Brian? What are you doing? Where are you at?
I am in Springfield, Illinois, sitting in a brand new Jerr-Dan rollback with a side recovery system on it, which allows you to winch off the side of the truck so your rollback, your car carrier, can be a great recovery vehicle as well. This is heading down to a new owner for it, and then I'll be flying home and getting some office work done.
It's interesting. You said side load, right? Side load?
Not side load. No, it's called side load. Side recovery system. Okay. It's a winch with a small arm that swings out left or right to allow you to recover and pull a vehicle up without turning your truck sideways and blocking the road. You can't load it on the deck, but it allows you to use it almost like you would a tow truck for recovering wrecks or vehicles that need to be winched out of a ditch.
Interesting. Well, and that reason I was thinking that is I was reading an article, I think it was European Auto Transport, side load, this and that. So I was looking. And have you seen, in fact, the crab walking wheels that'll literally turn 90 degrees? So you can, that's amazing stuff. Wow. It's wild.
Yes. And in Europe, it is actually pretty common to load a flatbed tow truck from the side because they put knuckle boom cranes on them. Their streets are just way too narrow to use equipment the same way that we do. So they'll swing out with a crane, grab your vehicle by the four tires, lift it up and set it right on the deck, which I don't know why we've been so slow to adopt that in the United States, because it takes away all the problems with these low ground clearance vehicles. It takes away problems with vehicles rolling off of your deck because it's tilted and it didn't stay in park or whatever. And it's four arms that just grab the tire, pick it up, set it down on your deck. It's a pretty simple system. Now, not necessarily practical for auto transport, but for the towing industry, I don't know why we haven't adopted it yet.
It's very interesting. Let's say hello to some of our guests today. Silvermint is also here. Money on the Move. David at Two Bears says, howdy. Devin at Victory Lap, good afternoon. And he's got a question. And John at Finest Towing Recovery, what's going on? What's happening, everybody? Thank you guys so much for saying hello and tuning in. Let's get to Devin's question. When you're filing for your MC number, what is the difference between choosing motor common carrier or motor contract carrier? And can I do both?
You do not need to do contract carrier anymore. That's a holdover that's still on the application from the Interstate Commerce Commission days, where there were two different types of for-hire carriers. You were either a common carrier, which means you could haul anything for anybody among your declared commodities that you hauled. You didn't have to have a contract with someone. Or you were a contract carrier where you could haul for hire, but only with specific customers that you had a contract with, more like a long-term contract. Let's say delivering groceries for your local Piggly Wiggly warehouse. This is an oversimplified example, but bottom line is contract means nothing anymore. So you're a motor carrier. A common carrier is what you want to be. You could check both boxes if you want to, but it means nothing.
Good. And it's still on the form. Very good. Excellent. Outdated, irrelevant information on the form.
Just like the rest of our government. Outdated and irrelevant.
Perfect. Let's see here. Let's go ahead and share the screen. Let's see what we've got going on. Oh, I wanted to talk about, in case you missed last night's show, I'm going to move some of this stuff. I like to have a clean workspace here. Let's go ahead and move this down.
I promise you I missed it. I was asleep last night before you went on the air.
No problem at all. Here's what you want to do. If you missed the show, because I'm into Cliff Notes, you know? And so what you want to do is wait another day and then go to Auto Transport Intel and find the link. Here, I'm going to give you the link, too. I'm going to make this easy. You could be laying in bed with a bunch of applesauce everywhere, and you can still tune in and get the information you need, right? Get your coffee, get your Danish, get your paper and your eggs, and watch Auto Transport Intel in the comfort of your own cubicle. So I put the link in the live chat. It's right there. What you want to do is go in the video description in a day or two and skip ahead to Joe Bercari's Spot Market Finished Vehicle Logistics presentation. I promise you will be interested. What Joe did, Joe is the VP and GM at Midwestern Car Carriers, and he shared a map, and he showed all the ports, all the plants, and all the railways, and discussed what happens when there's a spot buy, why it happens, how some of the rerouting happens, rail versus truck. It's pretty fascinating stuff. So it was awesome. And Joe did that for us last night.
Joe always gives you great information. I appreciate listening to him speak.
He's incredible. All right. We are here to make sure that all of your stumps are removed. We're on stump removal, Brian. Okay. And we, of course, have... Here we go.
How we doing?
So, on how we doing, we are interested in proper weight distribution when loading, unloading, transporting. So, here's one for you. Nothing wrong with this picture, I don't think. I just thought I'd run it by you. What do you think? How we doing?
Pretty even, balanced load. Depending upon what state he's in, he might have some overhang issues. I mean, he doesn't have severe overhang, but some states are zero overhang if that's a 53-foot trailer. But overall, balanced load from what I can see. Wheels strapped down properly. 6, 12, 18... 18 to 20,000 pounds of cargo. So as long as he is a CDL truck with apportioned registration and fuel tax and CDLA driver, he's probably right where he could be. Because we got two 10,000 pound axles, so 20, 29, 30, you got 37, 38 gross on combined weight rating on the truck and trailer that it could handle. 20,000 cargo truck trailer. Yeah, as long as he's a CDLA driver, he's probably right on the money. And that style trailer is one of my preferred trailers for hot shot because it's low center of gravity, much less likely to roll over than the wedge trailers or the mini fives and the stuff that puts the load well above the cab of your power unit.
Cool. And see, so that was a nice and gentle how we doing, where we're not, you know, this isn't always a comedy show. Go ahead, and if you've got, you want to make sure that you're okay, of course you go to the scale and you get the weight, but let's check weight distribution. How do you check? Here's a question. Here's a stumper. Brian, how do you check proper weight distribution on a regular, normal day basis? Is there anywhere you can go or anything you can do?
If you're really concerned with it, then you go to a scale and you weigh your stuff. You weigh yourself. The CAT scale at a truck stop will give you a steer axle weight, a drive axle weight, and then the trailer axle together, so you can make sure you haven't exceeded your ratings on any of those axles. And if you are really screwed up with how the load is on the trailer, you'll notice that you're really heavy on the trailer and light on your drive axle, or vice versa. And then you just play with it by unloading your cars and changing the order they're in. Sometimes something as simple as loading something engine forward versus engine backwards on a certain position on your trailer will transfer 500 to 1,000 pounds of weight forward or backward on the trailer. So I strongly suggest when you're first learning your new piece of equipment that you do this. You spend the $12.50 and get a CAT scale. And if it's not right, go to the back corner of the truck stop, move it around to how you think it's right, go back across the scale. It's only $2 more to reweigh within 24 hours and play with it and see how it fits on your truck. See how your truck handles weight distribution. If you have a class 7 or 8 semi, you may find that just by sliding your fifth wheel forward or backward on your tractor, if you have an adjustable fifth wheel, will move 300, 500, 1,000 pounds. They do this in the regular trucking world. Your 53-foot dry vans, your flatbeds in that world, they have sliding fifth wheels on a lot of them, and they have sliding axles on a lot of them. And you can move a couple thousand pounds of weight around just by changing the position of your axle or your fifth wheel, changing your kingpin to axle distance. You can move a couple hundred pounds, a couple thousand pounds around. So when you're learning this on your car hauler, think about it. Think about how much that vehicle weighs, and try to picture it in your mind how it's going to move. But to verify it, to put data to it, go to the nearest truck stop scale and weigh yourself and see how your rig is actually weighed. And if you have to, move vehicles around till you learn how your vehicle is going to behave.
I found a link, find a CAT scale. I put the link in the live chat. But will a CAT scale tell you your overhang, Brian?
No. So for your overhang, I suggest you go to one of the cheap tool places. I don't mind giving a shameless plug to Harbor Freight. They got some of the cheapest tools out there. And what you need to buy isn't a super scientific fancy tool, but get yourself one of those long measuring tapes, you know, the type that roll up and are a ribbon like the surveyors would use. Get yourself one that is at least 100 foot long if you want to measure your entire truck. Or measure your trailer once, and then you can cheat from there and say, okay, my trailer's 53 foot. If I know I'm allowed so much overhang in the state I'm running, a little tape measure to measure from the front of your trailer or the back of your trailer to the back of the load will give you a fairly accurate measurement. But otherwise, get a nice long tape measure, measure your entire rig, see where you sit on the 65-foot rule for the states that require that. See how long your trailer really is. Overhang, I can't give you a you're allowed this on a hotshot truck because generally they don't meet the definition of automobile transporter. So I can't say that you're allowed 4 foot of overhang in the rear. It's going to mean you have to Google truck size and weight rules in every state that you plan on operating in to see if that state allows divisible loads. And that's the key. When you're not an automobile transporter, just because you're hauling cars, you're hauling what's called a divisible load, which means you can easily make it shorter by leaving one behind. So you need to check size and weight rules for the state you're going to be in on divisible loads. or you need to qualify as an automobile transporter by having cargo carrying capacity on your power unit where you could park a motor vehicle, which is hard to do on a pickup truck hot shot, even hard to do on your class 7 and 8 high mounts, which is why the Stinger trailer is popular, because that's cut and dry. We're allowed 4 foot off the front of the tractor, 6 foot off the rear of the trailer for a total of 90 foot overall, with 80 foot of that being truck and trailer. Rules aren't as cut and dry for high mount type trailers.
Well, and we probably know that most people that tune in for DOT compliance are not driving a Stinger trailer, right? We're talking
correct.
Dualies and wedge trailers and
four
and five that, combos.
That's where we have problems. The dually, the hot shot setup is generally the easiest way into the industry, because you can finance a dually pickup truck with personal credit. You don't have to try to get commercial credit on a class 7 or 8 truck or a Stinger. They're relatively inexpensive compared to a $300,000 nine car carrier. But they're also one of the most complicated vehicles to operate and stay compliant, because they don't allow you to take advantage of the overhang rules that a Stinger is. They're a target of motor carrier enforcement because so many people don't understand the rules. So they're low hanging fruit. They're easy to find something wrong with. They're very easy to be overweight with. Even when you have a Class A CDL and you have it registered for 32,000 pounds or whatever, it's extremely easy to overload the axles and the tire weight rating on that type of equipment. So even though there's the least expensive point to enter, it's probably the most complicated to stay 100% compliant with, just because there aren't any blanket one-size-fits-all rules because of the type of equipment you've chosen to use. So you've got to weigh these when you're making your choices on starting or continuing your company.
Which I think is a good segue into, I think the next section we have here is, oh, before we get to starting a business, speaking of how we doing, truckers push back on Virginia lawmakers' stupid bill to impose lane restrictions when it snows. This just sounds stupid. Brian, can you elaborate?
I'm familiar with what they're talking about here. And the lawmakers have misguided theory that trucks out in the left lane are causing these traffic jams because you'll get a truck spun out, then another truck out in the left lane spins out, and now the road is closed. I can understand where they came up with this idea, but restricting trucks to the right lane is not going to stop the problem. You'll get a long convoy, an impenetrable wall of trucks. Then when one of them spins out, you'll have the entire right lane blocked, which traffic studies show when there's an obstruction even on the shoulder of a highway, you lose 25% of capacity. Now we add in the obstruction of inclement weather and stuff like that, we're already, the highway's already down to, without anyone spinning out or getting stuck, 50% of its normal capacity just because of the bad weather and the slower traffic. Now we keep the trucks all in the right lane, we're still going to plug the highway up. The best course of action is to remove lane restrictions, period. And this is good weather or bad weather, and allow the trucks to use the lane that is appropriate and use their professional judgment to get away from or around or out of the cluster of vehicles, because we'll have less of these severe crashes when vehicles are not clustered together. The same concept happens when you come into any major metropolitan area and they restrict trucks from the left lane. Well, everyone's getting on and off in the right-hand lane, and they're interacting with a wall of trucks in the middle lane. Trucks should be allowed in the far left lane as through traffic and just go. So yes, I'll agree with the headline on this, that this is a stupid plan. I'll put it right up there in line with the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, that as soon as we think it's going to snow, we have a 45 mile an hour speed restriction on commercial vehicles, and then they start lane restrictions. And that's where Virginia got the bright idea from, is because Pennsylvania has a right lane restriction in inclement weather, and it has not helped any.
I can't understand how closing lanes makes any sense, especially in bad weather. And you know, like Ty and I would talk about, like on the show last night, Ty was like, man, in Europe, everything's like locked down and rules for everything, and he prefers the Wild West. And I'm thinking, yeah, but it's people's lack of empathy and patience that is those rules are imminent, because, you know, part of the problem, and this came out, it's not the truckers that are the main problem. It's the people with the lack of patience. Everybody's the smartest driver on the road and wants to make a car commercial in the snow. I've seen it. I know how it is. You know,
we all say the same thing. Oh, I'm not afraid to drive in the winter. I'm not worried about my skills. I'm worried about the other idiots on the road. Well, if everybody says that, then everybody should be either excellent drivers or we all are the idiots that are on the road. And restricting trucks to the right lane in bad weather is not going to help. Really, we need to just not be so focused on our schedule and ask ourselves first and foremost as the professional, do I really have to go through that area that the storm is happening in? Is this absolutely life critical? I deliver this load, or do we reschedule? Do I inconvenience myself by a day and avoid the whole mess? Because what we're starting to see happen, besides the accidents on the road and all that, and the time and money that the economy loses from that, we're starting to see insurance companies second guessing you when there's travel restrictions and you're still pushing through and you have an accident. Then they're starting to say, well, you should have shut down three exits ago at that truck stop because it was getting bad. You contributed to your liability here. It's a legal term called contributory negligence. And we don't want to pay your claim for the comprehensive, the collision damage to your truck because you had no reason to be on the road at that time. And we're starting to see this happen. And it happens a lot with cargo claims, and we're hauling cars, so we have open deck trailers. And so your cargo gets damaged because of the salt and cinders on the road or something like that. And the insurance company will say, well, you should have waited till the road was clear, or you had an accident and damaged the cars in your trailer. Well, we're not going to pay the cargo because you put it in harm's way deliberately by not stopping and waiting for the road to be clear. I'm not saying we need to shut down when there's a flurry out, but I'm saying part of what the process that a business owner and a professional driver uses is considering all of these things when they decide to go, instead of just being in the mindset. And I had the mindset when I was younger. Well, I used to laugh and joke about going out and plowing snow with my car hauler because the bumper was so low to the ground, it sent snow flying everywhere. And I would still do 55, 60 miles an hour on Interstate 84 in whiteout conditions because I was young and dumb and didn't know any better. But now that I got a little bit of gray hair here, I've started thinking differently, and it's a whole different world we're in today too.
I love the way you elaborate. I said something kind of, I just throw kind of crazy out there, and then you straighten it, and it's awesome. Give it meaning.
It's what I do.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. It's amazing. We got a heck of a combo going on here. Let's see here. Oh, yes, honey. Remember how we were saving for a house? Well, surprise. This is where, you know what I want you to do? I want you to start a trucking company with me. It's a marriage. It's a partnership. It's a truck. It's a house. All in one. So here's our, this was a question I got. Hey, Jay, I was looking at your YouTube channel. Thanks for the info. Okay, myself and my brother looking to get into starting business with a car carrier trailer. I have a CDL Class A and my brother has a Class B. We're thinking about, we're going to start with a pickup truck first to see how it goes. Where would you suggest I can look for those types of jobs for a pickup truck, 4 to 5 cars, versus a tractor? How can I apply for an MC and DOT number? Anything you can teach us or show us, we are willing to pay you for your time. Ooh. Well, I just hand it over to Brian. So, Brian, we read this. Thoughts, Brian?
Well, everybody thinks that they can jump into this business and make money right out of the gate. And some are successful, but most are not. I'm going to say probably 80% of the new authority applications that I complete in a year are not in business by year one, let alone year two, when I would have to do their biennial update to their DOT number. So just think about that. About 80% of the operating authorities that I do the company doesn't even make the first 12 months. And again, that goes back to what I was saying earlier about it's easy to get into this business. Now, a lot of you that have struggled to do it are going to tell me I'm crazy, but it is relatively easy to get into this business compared to dropping $500,000 to open a brand new restaurant somewhere or something like that. So what I would say to these folks is the same thing I say to everybody. Why do you want to get into the business of hauling cars? Did you watch a YouTube video somewhere that's promising you 10 grand a week? I had a customer tell me his driver came to him and telling him he was underpaid yesterday because he saw this video with a guy doing local tractor trailer work, shuttling groceries from a warehouse and making 10 grand a week. And I had to laugh out loud at that one. So I ask you, why do you want to haul cars? You have a background as a mechanic. If you worked at a dealership, do you know anything about the auto industry? Or did you just see some guys with a pickup truck pulling cars down the road and said, hey, I think I can do that? Second, do you understand how to run a business and go find customers? Because honestly, the first place I would have never thought the first place to go would be YouTube to ask somebody, where do I find the work? That line is what really stands out to me on this. Where would you suggest I can look for these type of jobs? Well,
yeah, that's
the same place you would look for any other work.
That was kind of the flag I saw too. Where do you look for these jobs?
Go knock on the door at your local dealership and ask them who's hauling their cars. Go find the local auto auction. If you can't figure that much basic stuff out on your own, you're going to really struggle to develop customers and to build a business and build a brand. So again, I have some very successful customers that knew nothing about the auto transport industry when they came into it as well. But You need to understand the fundamentals at least. So for these folks, I'm going to say, first of all, the brother needs to upgrade to a Class A if they're going to run a pickup truck and trailer that are CDL required. And I really do recommend that. It removes a lot of the restrictions. And once they see you have an apportioned plate and a fuel decal on your truck, a lot of the scale masters relax a little bit because in their mind, it just tells them, oh, this guy's doing it right. It really means nothing because you can be legitimate as a non-CDL hauler, but I just know how their minds work. So I'm going to say make sure you have the right license, figure out what your pickup truck can legally haul, and then decide where you want to haul. You don't just randomly pick cars up and go in a direction. You have to have a plan. What lanes do I want to run? Do my brother and I want to run it together? Are we going to be out on the road for weeks on end, or are we looking to go out and back the same day, or am I going to drive 3 days a week and he's going to drive 3 days a week? What's your plan? So those are the questions I would ask them before I ever could give them a single piece of advice.
I want to say two things here. One, I'll go to camera one, is that number one, I really appreciate these emails because that way we can dissect if there's a problem before we get further in down the road where we may have a problem. So please keep sending us this stuff. Like, we want to know your thoughts. And like I say, where'd you get that idea? Like Brian was asking. We want to know what you're thinking. That way we can really help you. So I told him and his brother to watch today's show. I don't know if they're watching. I don't know if they'll watch it later. I hope they do. And when they do, hopefully, they're not concerned, but rather they say, wow, that's actually really helpful. In fact, my bet is you don't get that everywhere. You don't get that honest.
No, a lot of people in our position, you and I are consultants to this industry.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in our position would say, well, here you go. Sign up. Here's my $995 subscription and I'll walk
right.
you through it.
Yeah,
you fail, we don't care because I got your money up
front.
Totally.
That is exactly. There are these training programs and they ain't cheap. And
I would say send them the link to today's show in a reply email and just folks understand we're not picking on you. We're not giving you a hard time. We need to know these answers so that we know how to best advise you on what to do. I Because my advice is going to be different for someone that is looking to haul out of their local auction or maybe do salvage work for Copart or IAA than it is the guy that's willing to be on the road 3 weeks and run long haul irregular routes. So these are all business considerations. And some of these guys that are showing these $8,000 and $10,000 a week incomes, it's because they're running their butt off all across the country and they don't have a life. So they're living in their truck.
So Ty was live like last week or the week before. They were in the transport parking lot and a driver was showing them, we didn't see it, it was off camera, that he was pulling in $9,000 a week. And I mean, really, it was amazing. His gross was off the charts for his setup. So they said, how many miles are you running? And he had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells you, like, okay, yeah, you should know that.
Yes, well, I've had some folks that I've consulted that are trying to get into this that thought they were going to do New York to Florida snowbirds. And, well, yeah, I load them up, I drive down, drop off, drive back, I turn around, I'm done in 3 days. No, because there's this little thing called hours of service.
Right.
And Florida is far enough away that it is at least a day and a half, day and three-quarter trip from New York State. Then unload, reload, deliver, pick up. It's a full week to do that turn. And they're like, well, I'm in a pickup truck. I don't need any of that stuff. But right. I'm sorry. Yes, right. You That's, do.
On the YouTube video, they said we could do whatever we want.
I have the same discussion with my customers in the towing industry because same thing. Well, I'm driving a little truck. None of that applies to me. I don't have a CDL. Sorry, it does.
And just last thing, too, I had another email. This guy was asking me to dispatch. I told him I don't dispatch anymore. I guess before I told him that, he said, hey, do me a favor, Jay. I just need you to dispatch for me at night until I can get out of the job that I'm doing or whatever. And I'm thinking, this whole idea is crazy.
Yes.
A night dispatcher. But you know what? There's probably somebody out there that can night dispatch. The thing is that I think to just to recap, if the brothers had some more specificity of idea, then it wouldn't be so. It's the less detail you have of your idea, the more the sharks are going to say, I'm out.
Absolutely.
All right. Perfect way to end the show. Listen, Brian, thank you so much for your time today. I know you're busy. You're on the road, but you take the time with us. Oh, and you know what? Hey, let's do this. I just want to do this. I want to share, let's see, hey, don't forget, you can tune in to Brian's podcast, On the Road with Your DOT Guy, Brian Riker. Brian, so there's a link for this, right? Is it On the Road? What is it?
On the Road with Your DOT Guy. It's available wherever you get your podcast. We're still waiting for iTunes to approve it, so it's not up on the iTunes platform yet, but it is on Google, Stitcher, Spotify, or you just go to yourdotguy.com, and there's an RSS feed link on that website that'll open it right up for you. New episodes download every Saturday. This coming Saturday, we're going to have a interview with John Borowski. He's been in the towing industry for 50 years, and we're going to talk about how not to be taken advantage of by towing companies, because a breakdown or an accident is inevitable. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when it's going to happen. And John shares his insight as the former owner of the largest police towing focused company in New England. He shares his insights on how to avoid being taken advantage of when you have a breakdown or an accident and you need to call a tow truck, especially when it's a tow truck you're not familiar with. So that is this Saturday's episode. And like I said, it's available anywhere you can find podcasts, or go to yourdotguy.com. Click on the link on the top that says The Show, and it'll bring you to an RSS feed where you can listen. I also have archived on there previous episodes and a couple of little spots that I've done for Windshield Wisdom. And if you remember 2 years ago, those little 90-second videos I did on different safety topics for you, I have an archive with them on the I believe it's up on the website. If it's not, it will be soon. And we're going to start having some more safety-related content on the YourDOTGuy.com website.
Awesome. The links are in the live chat. Go to yourdotguide.com. And then, yeah, yourdotguide.com/the-podcast takes you right to it. Brian, awesome stuff today. Today's show went so fast.
Yes, it did. And I'm not breathing heavy in your ear. I'm not trying to unhook a trailer from a tractor.
Oh, that was cool, though.
It was a pleasure.
No, we liked that. We did. I thought that was really interesting. Anytime you have to do a show in the middle of logistics, business, and hard work, I'm a big fan.
I should have just put the camera on and showed you exactly what we were fighting with.
I did. So in the future, yes, that's happening.
All right. Sounds good, Jay.
All right. Well, thank you, Brian. And everybody tuning in the live chat and everybody tuning in on demand, thank you so much for joining me and Brian on Wednesdays at noon for DOT Compliance. Brian, thank you so much. We'll see you soon, buddy.
See you next week.
All right. Take care. All right.